she had done that a number of times.
There you go.
Today is August the 6th, the Recovery Plan Review Committee meeting. The time is now 2 p.m.
She lost 96 pounds. She has kept it off.
And what did she do?
Jenny Craig. She buys her food from Jenny Craig, and
so that really works.
And it does for her.
If you stick with it, yeah.
It does for her. You gotta have the discipline.
Right, that's right. And, that's right.
So that means she eats her food, so I gotta fix my food. And that works too.
Yeah. Okay. I guess probably a common feeling for him this time. Because for the food, I think he just forgot.
Okay.
He's on. He's coming.
Oh, he's here.
He's here?
Here
he is.
We might as well wait then.
Okay. Then
you gave credit for
it. Yeah. I owe him an apology.
Good afternoon.
Bill.
Glad for punishment.
Is the tape on?
It's on.
Okay. Now 2:04, and we'll call the recovery plan committee meeting to order. Present are Commissioner Richardson, Commissioner
He can't even say his own name.
Commissioner Smith and Chairman Pimentel from the Housing Authority is Benjamin Stevens, and the Executive Director, Valerie Brown, Brother
Carlos,
and Brenda Goodman. Approval of the minutes of the previous meeting. Commissioner Smith, do you have any remarks or comments?
They look okay to me.
Okay. Okay, but there's no dissension. The approval of the minutes are approved from the previous meeting. Now we go right into old business and recovery plan updates.
Okay. We have one bit of good news regarding the sale of the properties.
Oh.
We did receive written approval from her for the sale of the 10 Street property.
Wow.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. And a copy of the approval letter be included with your board packet.
Okay.
And because Rick and I spoke with Ms. Gray, I think it was last week, probably around Wednesday, and she had been out, you know, with a family issue, and she told that she did have an approval letter, and that she signed it that day, and then I think she emailed me a copy on Friday. And so we did get that. And I then, in turn, spoke with the potential buyer to advise him that we did indeed have the approval, because he had called me earlier in the week asking that we need to do another extension. And I said, no, we actually spoke. And so I'm going to meet with him tomorrow and get an update from him on the status of where they are.
Okay.
And so I know they said they were waiting until we got the HUD approval before proceeding with the zoning request from the city. Mm-hmm. And now that we have that, they should move forward. And unless the neighborhood associations have changed their mind, they should be supportive of the project.
Okay. Which association is that?
Paulie
Diggs. Our friend.
Right.
I don't say it in a sarcastic way. I'm just saying.
And so, after I speak to the developer, I apologize, touch base with the Paulie Diggs Association.
Okay.
And make sure they're still on board.
Okay, then.
And so.
And we go to the zoning, right?
Yeah. And I received an inquiry about the Albemarle property as well. Mm-hmm. There's a builder who built a couple of small subdivisions in Hillsborough County. They're looking to build something central between Tampa and Orlando. And so he asked, you know, for the information on Albemarle that he's going to get with his investors. Mm-hmm. And so, and I think that was Tuesday when I spoke with him. And so we'll see where that goes. And so, and then with Williamstown, we had a, well, as Commissioner Smith knows, the city council approved the zoning change for the Williamstown project. And we received a letter this week, and a copy of the approval letter is going to be included with the board packet. And we had a conference call with the HUD Miami office and to basically just update them, and also to meet the new director, current director for the Miami office. His name is Uche Aluku. And he had been on the multifamily side of HUD, I think it's been for the last 3 years, and he transferred over to the public housing side.
Okay, he's the new director for Miami. Miami.
Mm-hmm. Victor Rocha, who's the interim director, now reports to him.
Oh, okay, okay. So the only thing we have in Miami now is
the Hope Six.
The Hope Six, right.
The Hope Six Farms, which is the Williamstown property, the Hope Six Farms. And then we also trying to get some of the RGF funds as part of that Hope Six project as well. We have worked with the Jackson office for that. And Valerie was waiting for some information. Get the cost estimates?
Yeah.
Yeah. Did those come in?
Yes.
Okay, good, good. And now Valerie will be, she always works hard, but, you know, continuing to work to put some stuff together over the next few days to send to the Miami office.
Well, that's all the good news now. Yeah. You can kind of set us up here now. Yeah.
And now the real reason we're calling the meeting.
Not a real reason.
Yeah.
Okay.
We had, as you all know, we have two NDAs that we're negotiating, one for Westlake and one for the 10th Street ALF with Continuum Care. And one went well, and one didn't go so well.
Okay.
The one with the 10th Street ALF did not go so well. And when we go through my reasons, you'll also understand why the one for the Westlake went well. Previously, I think emailed you all the full MDA,
right.
But in your folder is a copy of the pages where we had concerns.
Okay.
Okay. And what I gave you is my list there, which we will go through.
Mm-hmm.
And but I could have done it on the big screen, but since you got that, we'll just go through it like this. And
What is being stricken out here is what they revised on the one that Saxon Gilmore put together, or
basically, yes. Yeah, and we're going to discuss this one.
Yeah, the strike throughs, or what?
Okay.
What we're objecting to, or is what they,
right.
they added?
Right. I wish we could have done it in color.
That's all right.
The one to that extent is what they added. And the strike-through is what Saxon Gilmore had originally written, and they struck out.
Okay.
And see, what they took out, well, we don't have a problem with what they added, you know, to that standard, applicable. But when they took out the reference to the PHA plan, under 24 CFR. And I somewhat understood why they would want to do that, but I just didn't agree with it. You know, because all our projects have to be a part of our PHA plan. Mm-hmm. You know, because they probably struck that because they're saying they're going to be in the public housing units per se. But, and that may or may not be true, but still this project has to be listed in our PHA plan. Mm-hmm. And so that language has to be in there. Mm-hmm. And then when you go down to the bottom there, and work before the developer under this agreement, I've been circling in accordance with this agreement, they struck that, and my reason said that needs to stay in there is because a MDA, usually if you have multi-phases, you know, multiple phases to a project, the MDA governs all phases. Then you have like other agreements that are phase specific, okay? But the master development agreement supposed to cover like all phases.
Okay, so.
And that's what, you know, I discovered. That's not a big issue, you know, more like a technicality, but again, you know, it's something that I just wanted to address because it tells a little bit about where they were coming from and their approach. And
okay, quick question, sure. Just as we go through it, I won't have to keep mm-hmm. asking it.
No problem.
The things that they're eliminating is what Saxon Gilmore had put in the
yes,
original document.
The strike-throughs are what Saxon Gilmore had put in.
And they're saying they don't want it in there.
Exactly. And the underlines are the things that
and
they
the underlines
add.
Are things that, okay.
Yeah, but they added, yes.
More importantly, since Saxon Gilmore generated this document, has he given us any response to their strike-throughs?
Saying
he agrees or he disagrees? Or?
I spoke with Rick Gilmore and, you know, told him what my concerns were.
Okay.
That he basically agreed.
Okay. Because I think it would be good for the full board mm-hmm. for him to you know elaborate on it. That you know if this is a document he generated and they want to take it out, I think then he should be the one to along with you. I mean, your recommendations have gone to him, and now if he agrees, he needs to come back and let us know.
Right.
Or if there's anything that he
yeah,
needs us to.
Yeah. He probably will at the board. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
That's important.
Yeah.
So I would give him a heads up that we're going to ask him, so
sure.
he won't be caught blindsided.
Sure.
Okay. Anybody have a comment in that direction? Okay. Okay. So that's mm-hmm. page 6.
Yep. And then you go to page 7, mm-hmm. and that again ties into what I was saying about the master plan for governing all phases of the project, mm-hmm. and when they say mm-hmm. including a phase 1 that has agreed upon by the authority and development partner. You know, and the improvements, again, they're trying to restrict what we can do with this particular agreement, okay? And then when you go to page 10.
Okay, what I want to do so we don't have to keep backtracking. Mm-hmm. As we go through these pages, if any commissioners have a comment,
oh, sure,
why don't we do it now?
Okay.
I don't have to come
you
back.
You put a question mark beside the one on page 7. There's not a strong objection, but...
What I wanted them to do when I put that there was because yeah. I wanted them to explain why they put that there.
Okay.
And then I didn't necessarily agree with their logic when we spoke with them. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you.
Because mm-hmm. where I write no meaning that, it means...
No, question mark.
Yeah.
Question mark, I'm not sure, but no means
not a strong, not a strong objection.
Right.
You need an explanation.
Exactly. Okay. Exactly. And although, and then on page 10, mm-hmm. you see where they struck out the repertoire and operating agreement.
Right.
You know, I've always been told that the two most important documents we do a mixed finance development project is the Revenue Operating Agreement and your Management Agreement.
Mm-hmm.
And so when they struck that, and that's especially crucial when you do bond deals and tax credit deals. And again, they're saying the PBRA agreement.
What is a PBRA?
Yeah.
Project-Based Rental Assistance.
Oh.
Excuse me?
Project-Based Rental Assistance. Basically
okay.
a HAP agreement.
Okay.
HAP
okay.
Agreement.
Okay.
Yeah. And as you know, HAP agreements deal directly with Section 8, okay? And your revenue operating agreement deals with everything, how you're going to operate the property and all of that. And so I think it's important that we have that, and I discussed that with him, and I didn't necessarily agree with his explanation, so.
I'm having a hard time reading the note.
Yeah, you know, yeah.
Oh, y'all, y'all can't read my
handwriting? I'm chalking it up to the copy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's what it says, that there's no R&O. It's replaced by disagreement. Mm-hmm. And that was their response. Okay. It's, and they were going to replace R&O with the primary rental assistance agreement. And I didn't necessarily agree with that logic.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so they wanted to strike out.
Right.
We said regulatory and operating, and they wanted to put in the PBRA.
Right.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
And
yeah, because that would be more favorable for them.
Okay.
And that would not give up much say in how the property is actually operated in their life. And where they could have been doing that because that was specialized care, and they're saying that, you know, hey, if this is specialized care, you don't need a housing authority involved in that, which is probably true, but still, we need to find out that what rules they're following. And that's where the regular operating agreement lays out. Okay.
And so if the PBRA works to their advantage.
No. Yeah. Well, if you whip out an RA, because you're gonna have to have that PBRA anyway.
Okay. All right.
Because when you're doing that Section 8 substitute project, Section 8.
Okay.
You always have to have some agreement that discusses the terms for them getting Section 8 payments. Okay.
So are you saying there should be an and in there?
Yeah.
Regulatory operating agreement and the PBRA?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah. But that's usually how you see it.
Mm-hmm.
Usually how you see it. And then on page 12, with the developer fee, okay, granted, the 16% that was left in by Saxon Gilmore, and your Florida Housing Finance Corporation allows you to collect up to 60% for the developer's fee, but HUD, when that's federal money, limits your developer fee to 12%. That's split between the house authority and their development partner. And if there are certain conditions, you can go up to 15%. Well, that's usually if like when we were in New Orleans, you know, you had a hurricane. You had the market basically was down.
You skipped over 11.
There was nothing on 11.
They just said they needed the our policy and procedure.
Oh, okay.
Oh, they just need that.
So they need a copy of that.
Yeah, so that's fine. We agree to that.
Okay.
So
okay. Now we're on
developer fee. Okay.
Yeah. And basically, I'm doing it, then highlighting what called talk burn for us. Okay. And so with that, and with what they were proposing, you know, the 16%, we know the HUD won't go above 15%. And then they would have to provide a justification for going above 12%. And they said that they would do that, but I just don't think the conditions exist that would allow them to go above 12%. You know, not here in this particular market. You know, so, but and Reed, you see that question mark down there? It's like that we see on an entity and the proper partner. The MDA usually is with your developer partner. Owner entities are usually formed when you do your tax credit application.
Right.
And that's one of those sub agreements to your master developer's agreement.
Right, right.
And so that's why I had a question mark there. And then if you go to the next page, page 13. Okay. Basically, you know, we wanted a 50-50 split on the cash flow.
Mm-hmm.
And the developer partner for Westlake agreed to that, but they were saying no, and because they didn't see us as a 50-50 partner. And which
they want
75%?
No, they want 100%.
Right, they want 100% up here, but then
The 75-25 is for the developer's fee. Mm-hmm. Okay. And I think we get we got 70-30. I think it was with Westlake, right?
Yeah, we got with Westlake. We got 70-30 and 50-50 on cash flow.
Yeah,
and we're providing how much cash equity?
Oh, they don't care about that.
And the land?
They don't care about that.
But when you think about
yeah,
them,
yeah, well, 100% don't fly.
Right. When you think about on Westlake, we were getting 70-30. If you do tax credits or bond deals, FHFC requires the housing authorities at least get 25%. Mm-hmm. So for them to hold their ground where they were at, they weren't even making any concessions. They are just doing the minimum they have to do by FHFC if they get bonds or tax credits.
Yeah. And then the other thing that really caused us heartburn was they want a 6% developer's fee. Okay. And so that would have meant that if we get 2%, we have to get 8% developer's fee paid to the partnership. Well, Hudson Harbor caps the magnet fee at 6%. But we gave them 6%.
And there's no percent for us.
Exactly.
Exactly. But they put 8%
of this.
Yeah.
No percent of that.
Yeah. So it's like that. That's a little shell game there.
They want us to go Dutch but pay everything all, 100%.
Hey, we ain't got the good part yet.
I'm missing it. Where's the 6-8%?
Yeah, same paragraph. See where I got that little 4-2?
Yeah.
Okay. And because what they did, they changed it from 4 to 6 for them. Okay. And they left it 2% for us. But see, the share gain comes in at that HUD is going to cap it at 6%. Okay. And so they'll say, well, we got to have our 6%. You agreed to it. And that mother will tell them, we may give you 0.5% or something like that. But, so that's not going to fly. And and then you see down there, the part of the House Authority may bid on the contract for maintenance, landscaping, and inspections. And you see, that's no for us, because we're like, no, we're not going to bid. We're going to have the contracts for maintenance, especially what we're giving up already and stuff. So, don't know if they, like, they may have, like, a maintenance arm to their company that does maintenance work or whatever, but still, we want to do that, because we need to make some money off the project. And basically what they're doing is just, they're cutting down on all the profits. And so,
is there any requirement that go out for bid, though?
No. No.
Yeah, the key is they actually do all the different roles that we do. They're a development company, they have a construction company, they have a property management company. So they would give the contracts to IMS probably instead of. We would bid
instead
on it, but we'd have no chance of getting it because they would have their sister subsidiary do the work.
And they don't have to follow HUD procurement.
Okay. That was my real question.
Yeah. They don't have to do that.
Okay.
And see, most authorities don't know that. They would say, we got a procurement process. Yeah. And so, but no, they don't have to follow it. And then the same thing, this is kind of like a repeat where they're saying no to us getting a share. Like this was the after stabilization and the cash flow, and then they struck out the private partner for them to receive a 4% that's in the management fee.
That's on page 14.
On the maintenance landscaping, I can see where they would want some protection that it would need to be a reasonable fee that we're not going to gouge them or something. But
we're open to that.
Yeah.
And because we even offered to provide resumes, because Carlos had worked as a manager for a project of this type. We had the specialized care and all of that, and we would tell them that we had management experience with tax credit properties and all of that. And so we're not just a Johnny come lately trying to just earn a buck. We could actually do the job. And we offer to provide resumes and all that so that they can see that.
But they're looking for some protection on the cost of that service, I'm sure.
Okay. You can think of it as Hollywood that way. No, I'm joking. I understand where you're coming from. So, yeah. And it is understandable that they would want protections, and so do we. Yeah. And that's why we offer to provide resumes, all that, talk about our experience at doing it. Because we're currently managing tax credit properties right now. Okay. And so, and doing better than some other private sector companies are doing. Because there's a list that Florida Finance Corporation generates every year about companies that are not in compliance. But with that, we've never been on that list.
Would we subcontract that out, or we do it ourselves?
We do it ourselves.
Westlake Management does that.
Yeah. Westlake could do that.
Okay.
And even when we
can do the job.
We got bids to make sure that what we were charging was reasonable. Right.
But that I'm saying, yeah. I can see where they're coming from, that they want a reasonableness thing in there, you know.
Yeah, that's it. And that's why we said we'll offer evidence of our experience. So that they would have a comfort level.
Experience is one thing, cost is a different thing. Yeah.
Can we be competitive?
Oh, yeah, of course.
We have, and we've been cheaper.
Because I know we dropped the one we had, and we took it when we brought it in-house. Mm-hmm. We gave it to Westlake, so it's got to be cheaper.
To our dismay, I mean, I had planned, especially at Lake Ridge, for us to stop doing maintenance of the lawns, but ended up that we were cheaper than the bids that we received. So we have been competitive, and even when we decided to do lawn maintenance, let's say with the other properties, the five partnerships, we also went out to bid to make sure that the prices that we were charging were within the market and fair and reasonable. So we have to do that check internally, just because when HUD audits our books, they want to make sure that we're not overcharging, right, just to make up for the fact that we have a COCC that doesn't break even, so we move the money somewhere else. So we have all that documentation in our files on the contracts that Westlake is performing in-house. Yeah.
I would see that last sentence could be modified a little bit, where they said may bid, you know, and just leave the parties agreed that the authority shall receive the contract for maintenance, landscaping, and inspections.
They put in the main bid, but
as long as they're competitive.
And just so you know, the other developer partner agreed to it, that same language.
Yeah, and that's. Yeah.
Okay. So, page 14?
Yeah, page 14. And again, the same logic there. The only thing that's different is like we go down 3.22, development cost savings. And that, when I say after payment of all development fees, you know, no, that means that basically say like we could get nothing. Mm-hmm. And because especially like do a deferred developer fee and the like, you know, we're basically could be left with nothing. And so, and then see they structure the language there, so we remain to the remaining positive balance. You know, that's an incentive for you to manage the property correctly, and then to, you know, doing some cost savings for a partner, which is already letting you all, you know, manage the company, you know, manage it without us interfering. And they're basically, they're a developer and they have the management company. They're basically making all the profits, and we get nothing, very minimal. And we can't afford to do that right now. Okay. So.
So this last part that was stricken.
Right, they struck that out.
That, we had it in there and they took it out.
Right, exactly. And again, the other developer partner agreed to that language. Okay. Okay. And then you go to page 15. Now, see, this is the part that really caused me heartburn.
Okay.
They want us to pay the third party development costs. Now, everybody knows that, but what that is saying is that they could do all this work, you know, to get, try and get tax credits, all those types of things, and we'll be paying them, and then they could just say, oh, sorry, we could get in tax credits and see, so we out of money. But and basically that's why you always split pre-development cost, because that's the incentive for the developer to stick around. Mm-hmm. And the pre-development cost, and then any cost that they incur, they'll repay that closing. We do a financial closing, so they won't lose any money.
If they close.
If they close.
But they're saying here they want to be reimbursed by the authority.
Yeah. So,
right.
Yeah, whether they close or not. So we're the ones out of the money.
Yeah, we're saying no. Because they basically could just do all that.
They can go 2 years working and say, hey, I have a bill for $500,000. Pay me.
Yeah.
Bye.
Sorry. You know, we tried to get you financial, so we just couldn't do it. We did our best.
And some of that money that they spent, they spent it with some of their subsidiaries, so really mm-hmm. came back to them anyway. Mm-hmm. And,
right. Like, because the other development partner, they acknowledge it as their responsibility to get tax credits or bonds, and that they're going to take the cost. So they're looking at their pre-development budget is, what can we afford to lose the sunk cost because of our confidence that we can get the tax credits. And they're not putting anything more on the table going after the bonds or the tax credits than what they can afford to lose. This group won't even risk the money, period.
Okay.
And then on page 27, yeah, they just don't even want us to approve the form that they submit for payment. You know? And I'm like, I've never seen that one. I thought that was pretty bold to make that request. They say, you all can't approve our form to you to submit payment to you. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's, you know, kind of self-explanatory there, because we need it in our format so we can put it into our system and the like. So
when we get audited, you know what I mean? Exactly. We have a paper trail.
Yeah.
And all we were asking was to provide comments.
Yeah. Right.
They don't even want you to give comments.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Boy. Okay.
Okay. You can go to page 29.
Yeah.
Okay. And what my comment is in the side that said, you know, they must receive an administrative fee. Because mm-hmm. they don't even want us to get that. You know, because we have to basically do the reporting to HUD on the project and the like, and there's a cost associated with that. So we should receive, at least receive that administrative fee. Okay. And basically, with this here, like I said, operating subsidy, we strike our operating subsidy and replace it with rental assistance. Basically, when you say that, when the HUD says we're going to provide you an operating subsidy, that means that what HUD gives us, we give you. But when it says provide rental assistance, it says we're going to charge this rent and you got to pay us that even if your subsidy comes here. Hmm. So that's why you can't agree to those types of terms. So, okay. And then we just show that the 120% of fair market value, you know, which is standard for Section 8. Mm-hmm. And so the higher rent they can charge, the more money they can make. So. And then on page 30, again, another reference to the R&O. And then on 31, what that says is
equity. We lost out a bunch on 31.
Yeah, we lost 30. Yeah. Yeah.
Pretty much.
But that one.
Didn't know 31.
Well, I put that one there so that y'all wants to think that we're just picking on them. And if we didn't give in to something.
Oh, you say that's a legitimate concern.
Yes, because he said that an equity investor would not allow this. And so I said, okay, that one we'll give in on. So it wasn't like we were just, you know, being totally unreasonable. So that's why I put it up there. Y'all see that we did give some concessions. Okay. And then page 34. Yeah, and with that, again, they really being smart, saying in connection with the loan, this applies to all documents associated with the project, not necessarily with the loan, okay, body authority to the owner entity. And see, again, they tied it to just financing. And this covers all documents associated with the property. So that's why we say no to that language there. Any questions?
The subcontractors are we, there's a sub, are those listed, and we have that underlined? Is that?
We probably wouldn't necessarily agree to that either.
Okay.
Because when you hire subcontractors, you know, they're not going to know all of the local subcontractors. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and when you're doing construction, Section 3 applies, and they have to solicit, you know, bids and the like. And so they're not going to know all of the subcontractors in advance.
We have the MBE requirement also.
And that's what that basically is. It's just saying that, you know, they adhere to the proper MBE and procurement and bidding. They're just saying we're going to give it to our sister company and we're not going to let you bid it out.
Well, their sister company, they are MBE, so they're saying by them getting the award, it's 100%
MBE. It meets the requirement.
Yeah. I mean, but again, if housing authorities, especially after Katrina, have had to look at just because you award to a GC who may be 100% woman-owned or 100% minority owned, if they have to subcontract out 95% of the work, you really didn't get the participation because that person was just a...
But you still want them to recruit locally. Mm-hmm. Okay. Locally.
Which on the other MDA was not a problem.
Exactly.
Well, you were dealing with more localized people.
Yeah.
Page 35.
Yeah. 35, 30 is just general comment. One thing I want to show is there a note there that 25%, you know, in contracts over $25,000, mm-hmm. that they would give us copies of the contracts and all those types of things. They're saying that was too low, but that's the industry standard, especially when you're dealing with housing authorities. Because, like I say, $25,000. You ever seen any higher than $25,000? I never have.
No, because even at other housing authorities, the ED may be able to execute a contract for up to $100,000.
Yeah.
But then all that means is they split up the work if you give them the same threshold the ED has for going to the board. So $25,000 is reasonable.
Because that ensures that they get MBE participation and Section 3 participation as well. Because you give them a break by not requiring every contract. Okay. So they got flexibility. And they know that. And you can see that when they were striking out there.
Yeah, they don't want to.
Yeah, they don't want to do their outreach locally. So which is just not going to work. And that's basically what all those comments and nature pages are about. They're trying to get out of some local requirements. Like on page 37, you know, they don't want to tell us what staff they're going to have. You know, it's like, yeah, I don't know about that one. You know, because that, again, that standard, mm-hmm. that you know who the project manager is going to be and that type of thing, the construction supervisor. So, and then, like the same thing there with on page 38. The developer partnership calls all equipment, materials, and articles obtained during construction to be inspected as appropriate. Why would you want to inspect to make sure they use the proper equipment? So.
Who authorized it?
All right. Mm-hmm. And then on page 39. And with... that again, where they struck down at the bottom, the virtual called the firm correction work that does not conform to development. I mean, this is work performed by their contractors.
Mm-hmm. Who happens to be their subsidiary.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. And you don't want to part about, you know, expect that work. Sorry, guy. It don't quite work like that. So, and then on page 41 is with their dynamic say, shall I mean they say problem for the authority in writing and at the authority's cost. That's only if it's a pre-existing condition prior to executing this document. But basically that means that they could do something on the job after they sign as MDA, and it'll still be the authority's responsibility. But if it's something that was unforeseen, then yes, that's understandable. But if it's something that's caused by them, you know, we don't need to be responsible for that. So. And then on 42, well, that's not in there, but they're talking about the days to, you know, give our approval. I didn't have a problem with what they were asking for. They would be there from 15 to 30, so which is fine.
On back on 41, C1 there, on about the, if they encounter prohibited substance on the site, that we would be the ones responsible for
cleaning
it up.
Right. And my handwriting, it's a, if it's a pre-existing condition.
Okay. Yeah, right. Not something that they built.
Exactly.
Okay, that yeah, fine.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then 45 through 48, you know, it's, again, just questioning why they would want to eliminate. No, those requirements. It's just standard. So if you're going to do the job and do it right, you shouldn't have a problem with this. And like I said, they were taking out some of the defaults, and you're like, really? So they don't want to be held accountable.
They don't want to cook for anything. Huh?
Yeah, exactly.
Even strike out the fiduciary bond. These people don't want they want everything and nothing, and they want to give nothing.
Who is this company again?
Yeah.
they're good development. They just so basically what they're doing. This is typical. You know, they say if you don't know enough to read the agreement and seriously, that ain't our fault. So you can't follow them.
Yeah, you put it in. And they
don't never give a sucker even a break, man. Yeah. They can't be mad at them.
If you don't catch it, that's your problem.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, that's what it is. That's why people don't read their agreements and then they sign it.
Yeah.
Don't you know?
Yeah.
People are nuts.
Don't talk about my.
I'm glad you read this.
Yeah. No, they just think we are nuts. That's what it is.
Not only am I glad you read it, I'm glad you got the experience that you caught it.
Yeah. And that's that. I'm gonna page 50 there.
Boy,
yeah,
they're taking out the world.
Yeah, that, you know, you just
sometimes
can't.
How you be unreasonable.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's a little much after a while.
Yeah.
And so that one on paper, that's a serious concern. That's why that you had to know.
But you think they added, you said no to.
Yeah, that's why I come with that. And then, the rest of stuff is kind of standard, and it makes serious concerns on page 64. Assignment of other warranty. They don't want a warranty to work. You're like, really? So.
Okay. We got some other pages in here that aren't on your list.
Those things are okay. They're just, you know, general concerns, stuff that causes heartburn, but I can live with.
Okay.
And then they're the same one that's on page 64.
Yeah.
That way they don't want to, you know, they don't want to warranty their work.
I had asked Ben to give us just the pages that were that he had some disagreement with, but for the board, you probably want to give him the whole document, I guess.
Yeah, we will. We'll email that to him in advance. So.
But I would put this in to highlight the pages that we're
That
we're around. We have concerns about.
Yeah.
Okay.
And again, and basically, this agreement, you know, they're pretty much the same as the one for Westlake, and much better negotiation and stuff. And granted, the developer for Westlake doesn't have the track record success rate of this particular developer, because with this, I don't take it personal. You know, it just shows the strength of the developer that if you're silly enough to sign into that reading it, hey, why would that be, you know, give you a test? If you agree to the terms, you know.
Well,
and it basically is a test to see, do you know what you're doing? Like, you know, you're beating a small business size housing authority, and most of them are not sophisticated enough to understand a MDA, mixed finance deal, probably management and the like, and stuff, so. And, but fortunately, you know, me and myself, we had the experience because we've been on the dark side.
Right. Well, so. I guess the bottom line is that, are you looking at this as a, if we can't come to some agreement on the language, that it's a deal breaker?
Yes, and then, because with this, what the attorneys are proposing, and then with the limited amount of money that we will make on this project, I think we should go to a plan B, you know, which would be to where we don't necessarily, we can do another ALF, but not one that does this continual care like this one does. But our main reason for, well, our principal reason for going with this one, with the continual care, we thought that we would be able to, like say, take over the management and, you know, and generate a lot of profits and stuff. But I think that's a little ambitious on our part, and say, you know, we'll just go with a standard ALF or a conventional multifamily project, one of those two.
From your experience and Rick's experience, do you think this can ever be boiled down to be a deal that we could do, or we're going to just come out of the gate and say it's a deal breaker?
I think this is a deal breaker here, what they have proposed. And then that, in combination with the fact that we won't make any money, you know, minimum amounts of money on this particular project, you know, because when we had the vision, you know, we anticipated so many profits coming to the housing authority. And then when we looked at the performer and all of that, all the performers are going out, I mean, all the profits are going out the door.
Okay.
And we just think that another project would be more advantageous to the housing authority.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Are you saying then we're just going to, you're proposing to say that we just say, no, we're not going to sign this development agreement?
Right.
Or, you know, let's see if we can come to
I don't think we can come to terms.
Okay.
Not with this particular developer.
Okay.
Unless you tell them simply, these changes you've made are unacceptable. If you want to go ahead with it, we go back to the original agreement with a couple of tweaks, not the $18 million that you put in here. And if they say no, then we got to scratch it. They're trying to give us pennies on the dollar.
We could go through that motion.
Yeah, no.
You know, and waste, you know, several weeks or months.
Right.
Or
just scratch it. You know.
Scratch it. And we are doing it for a project that doesn't really benefit the housing.
And also, we had
to be good from a PR perspective, but right now we need more than PR.
Yeah, and we had a conversation with them before we went to the MDA, and they sent their pro forma. Nothing in that pro forma had nothing to do with what we talked to them in terms of funding and how much money we wanted to spend on the project. So they went in a different direction without us even knowing. So, you know, you see it's not going to work.
That's my point. I don't want to waste time, our time, the board's time, and your staff's time fooling around with something that we think in the long run is not going to work. I think we just need to say, and I'm trying to be able to come to the board meeting and give some definitive examples to the rest of the commissioners, so we don't have to waste the time of talking and go back to the table and try to negotiate. I'd like to go back with a recommendation saying that based on your experience with Rick's support and the knowledge of your staff, that this is not a deal that we should move forward on, and bring that recommendation to the board, and with our approval, we can now say that the recovery committee has reviewed it and we agree, and we come to the board and bring it to them and make one clean cut if that's the agreement,
That is what I'm asking for, because I've been doing this for no more than 15 years. These are the worst terms I've ever seen. Even on my very first development deal where I knew nothing.
It's like they're asking us to go to a party with a six pack. They're going to drink the beer and give us the empty can.
And you may have to leave your wife with you.
That was clear in the strikeout. That was clear with that.
In a couple of weeks.
Okay. So I think seriously, I think that you certainly have done your due diligence in reviewing it, and that's what we require of you, from your experience, because we don't have the experience that you have. You've got your staff that's experienced, that has supported your decision. So, and Rick, from a legal standpoint, is saying that it sounds, and then I would like to get agreement from the recovery committee to support that and bring it back to the full board, is that we all agree.
With their modifications in here, it's as they have brought it to us, it's a no-go.
Okay. Okay.
If we tell them it's a no-go, and then they say, oh, we were just trying, really that original one's okay with these few things that you just had questions on, but if we can answer those questions, maybe we'll look at it, but we ain't going to spend a whole lot of time at it.
Okay. All right, well, I would say, unless there's any objection, that's the results of a report that we'll take back to the full board. Mm-hmm. And certainly you can get all this documentation out to the board with your page of all the comments. And
I don't know that the board needs the full document, though.
Okay, that's fine.
Fine
with me.
The pages that are being changed be sufficient to show.
Okay.
You know what probably could be advantageous, as you put the strikeouts, highlight them, and note your contention. What they, the idea is so people can read it before coming.
Yeah.
But really, they're going to be a few that are going to ask you to explain.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, yeah. So we're going to expand on it.
Expand on it. Make it like it's something for dummies. What are those books called? Development for Dummies.
NDA for Dummies.
There you go.
So I would say just expand on each one of these a little bit to give them.
You're assuming to give the board members going to read this before they get here.
it's not on us. You know what I mean?
That's right. Board meeting.
We know you're going to read it.
You're going to read it again.
So our board meeting is scheduled for
the 17th.
And today is the
6th.
So they have almost 2 weeks to review it.
Yeah.
And if they don't, then if they haven't read it in that period of time, then we'll move forward. But I just want to bring back a recommendation from us to support the actions that you've done. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right. That's what we'll do. And just, I think it's a good idea to, like it's been said, just to expand a little bit on your notes here. Doesn't have to be an epistle, but okay, very good. Thank you. Okay. All right. Monthly financials. Any information?
Because they moved the meeting up. For
I don't see any paper. Yeah.
I know we moved the meeting, but I thought it was important to move the meeting so we could go over this. And I'm sure when you get the financials ready, you send them out to us. We'll review them then. Okay? That's not a problem. But I requested to move the meeting up because I thought it was important for the committee to meet and review it.
So, and it worked out well.
Yeah.
Commissioner Bennettel.
Right, that's right. We even had a chairman.
I now have days off during the week, so I'll tell you what those days off. I'll be happy to attend these meetings.
Okay. All right. Any other business you need to bring before the committee at this time?
No, thanks. I think it's the news that came up. Is that anything?
Okay, very good. Well, thank you very much. And it is now 2:58.
Let's keep to that 2:58.
2:58, and we'll call this meeting adjourned. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Because they know that anytime you go after an hour, you're not learning anything, nothing's progressing, you're wasting time. So they got the time management down.
That's called Evanisms.
we don't fool around. We try to get right to it. No, but you guys did a great job for going over that document. It's been a big help. Because I would say the average commissioner, outside of probably Commissioner Smith, is not familiar with all the details that you've gone through.
I'm not familiar with all that stuff.
So that's why we rely on you.
You have to do those things in New York, believe me.
Meeting adjourned 2:50.
Before I left the board, was trying to sell Kingsbridge Armory. And Kingsbridge Armory is like a little city.
Yeah.